and to have faith in that power and to follow. God searches for us and calls us to new lives in all sorts of places and times. In the lives of the people in the Bible stories today, they were called to a radical change in the place they lived, in the place they worshiped, but they were called in different places. The first one was called at worship. The Paul was called on the road, and the fishermen were called at work. Wherever you are, there were these three different places that seemed to be places of the ordinary, and they became holy. Holy is the place where someone meets God and sees something that changes their life. In each case, the reaction to God calling them to change their lives was the same in today's scripture. They all had reasons to say, nope, God, you got the wrong person. I say, I have unclean lips, and I come from an unclean people. I have said and done some evil things, or let the people I'm supposed to be taking care of say and do stuff that means I'm not the one who can say the right thing to change their lives. Paul, he was doing pretty bad things at the time he was called. He was persecuting Christians. And now he's supposed to become one? And Peter's first reaction to Jesus saying, put down the nets, was, oh, we already tried that, and it didn't work. Probably not an excuse any of us have ever used before. Oh, I already tried that, I'm not going to bother to try again. And then, after the great catch happened, then it was, oh, get away from me, I am not worthy. I am a sinful person. And in each case, God says, you are the right person to do what I'm asking you to do. There is an expression that sums this up. God doesn't call the qualified. God qualifies whom God calls. You may think, I have gifts for a particular thing, and that's what I should be doing. And I don't have gifts at other things, so I should stay away from doing that. But that may be exactly what God is going to make you do. God says to each of them, you are the right person for what I'm asking you to do. If you're facing a challenge in your life right now and you feel like, this is not really where I want to be or what I'm going to be doing, today's scripture says, God might be planning on opening a whole new way of being to you. Or maybe courage to do what he did because of the Spirit of God moving through him. And later on, Isaiah had the right words to say to pass on God's inspiration and give people hope in desperate and frightening times, and renew their dreams and help them get through their suffering. All this came from the person who, at the beginning of today's reading, said, "I've got unclean lips. I can't do it." But he did. And Paul, though he called his faith untimely, ended up becoming the person who deserves the most credit of all for taking the news of Jesus to more people than any other apostle. And Peter, he did catch people instead of fish. He became the head of the early Christian church. There is something about calling, about God calling, that can take us and turn us around so that living our ordinary lives is not just enough. We just know we have to take risks. We have to give up the things that are safe and dependable sometimes to move to something that will change us and the situation of us. And we can do this today, right now. We can open our minds and hearts to the possibility that God is calling us each to live a new life. It might not actually involve changing careers or changing where we live, but we can be called to a new life still. We can leave everything right where we are. We can leave our greed and participation in materialism. This past week, I spent the week traveling. I went to the clergy conference in Italy, and then Katie and I went to Assisi, and then back to Rome. And at some point, we remarked, you know, we're living out of a backpack this week, and we haven't even used everything in the backpack. We're going to go home to our big old apartments and all the stuff we have there. We don't really need all that. We could be living this week out of a backpack. We probably could be living the rest of our lives without all the stuff. Materialism is that sense that we need all the stuff, but do we really? I always come back from a trip like that thinking, okay, I'm going to start throwing stuff out or giving it all away. Let's see how that lasts. Don't come look at my apartment after. We can leave our conceit or our unhelpful humility. We can leave our critical or complaining natures. We can leave habits that are harmful to God's creation, like wasting the environment or squandering more than our fair share of natural resources. We can leave being a gossip or keeping others from feeling welcome, even if those others are awkward or don't seem to fit with our other friendships. We can leave spending time staring at screens. I bet nobody here has got that going on. Again, this past week at the retreat center, we didn't have the right internet, so we couldn't stare at our screens. grudges and anger and hostility we may be feeling towards someone or some system. We can leave those things with the power of God. Not necessarily by our own free will, but by our asking God to help us to follow. We can leave whatever may separate us from God or keep us from following Jesus. And then it will be for us like it was for Isaiah, Paul, and Peter. It will be like the hymn where we can say, "Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart with your power. Thanks be to God."
We turn now in the green worship guides to page 3 to stand and affirm our faith in the one we follow.